I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
So even though it's 9 degrees, it doesn't bother me because baseball is very close. And we're also going to have a brand new home for the Cubs. It's going to be called the Marquee Sports Network. I didn't come up with that name. But we're going to have some new caretakers. Along with Len Casper and JD, we're going to have Chris Myers, Lou Piniella, Rick Sutcliffe, Mark DeRosa, and Mark Grace. So even though it's 9 degrees and feels like -3, my heart is warm.
Tuning into one of the greatest shows ever that's going to continue to grow. We're going to continue to give you insights. We're changing the game, man. We're doing something different. We're doing what people are not doing, so that will make us different. But we're going to continue to have fun, continue to be ourselves, continue to be real, continue to be authentic. Tim Anderson, man, I appreciate all the love. Make sure you tell somebody to tell somebody to tell somebody to tell somebody.
Herb Lawrence.
Yeah, did you ever Herbie Lawrence sighting at all today?
I did see him today.
Yeah,
he was down a couple booths.
And Rick Camp.
Oh, Solo Mio, that's Rick Camp in the Score Studios in downtown Chicago.
On 670 The Score, Chicago's sports station.
Nice of Tim Anderson to talk up the show like that today. I appreciate it.
My mans.
Welcome in. I'm Rick Camp. He's Herb Lawrence. We're here with you until 5 o'clock. We're pinch hitting for Cubs baseball. Is that kind of what we're doing?
Yeah, I know people were expecting to hear Pat Husey, or actually today it would have been Ron Coomer. I don't know Mick Gillespie from AA Tennessee would have been saying Cubs baseball is on the air. And sorry, there's rain in Mesa and all over Arizona, which is a very odd thing to have in spring training, but
right.
We are here instead from 2 to 5. We appreciate while you're driving on this beautiful day listening to us, or if you're at the crib listening to us, thank you.
Yeah, we've got a lot planned today. We're going to spend a good amount of time early on the Cubs. You were expecting Cubs baseball. We'll give you some Cubs talk here, especially hour one. 312-644-6767. 670-11 is the text line, and the text zone is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. At 3 o'clock, we're going to switch over and talk about the White Sox with James Fegan from The Athletic. Follow him on Twitter at JRFegan. And at 4 o'clock, our guy out in Arizona right now, Lawrence Holmes. We're going to bother him on his vacation.
Yeah.
He's been in Arizona getting his first taste of what spring training is like, so we'll get his impressions of that. That'll be at 4 o'clock.
And if you guys haven't heard, the White Sox game got canceled today because of the rain, and the Cubs game got moved back. So it still might not be played. It will not be aired here on The Score, as we have a Bulls-Suns game being aired here after we are done. After we're done? Or is there something else after us?
I think there's like a small CBS sports radio buffer.
We got to get on the bench.
5:45. Or is it Jody Mack on the weekend? I don't know. Either way, it's not great.
Yeah. Oh, but, wow. Crap it on CBS Sports Radio early.
Let's go.
Come on, man.
Jody Mack?
We're not part of them anymore. So, yeah. Actually, we can do that.
That's fine.
Yes, the Cubs game, you can't hear it today, but you probably can't see it either because Marquee is having a hard time rolling out its initial day of broadcasting, which, you know, I would think that Sinclair, a veteran TV outfit, would have this going smoothly, but they're dealing with, as Matt Spiegel pointed out, cable companies, different cable companies and different service providers. So it might not be 100% on the Marquee network or the Cubs. So relax, chill out. I'm sure by opening day, they'll get all the kinks out and have Cub baseball for you on TV. Like I said, with Matt and Rosie, if you want to listen to every game and make sure that every game is consumed by you, 670 to the Score will have every regular season game for you and the postseason. Damn right I said the postseason. I'm getting sick, Rick, of these people talking the Cubs down. As you guys know, I'm a Sox fan. But I don't hate the Cubs. The Cubs, I do the games here on 670 The Score in the daytime when they do happen. So I get used to hearing Pat Hughes and Ron Coomer and Zach Zabin broadcast the games here. And so I have a neutral feeling towards them. But the only team in the Central that really improved were the Cincinnati Reds.
Yes.
And they're good. They're better. And their pitching staff, got to watch out for them. The hitting's great. But I don't think they're better than the Cubs. We're forgetting the fact that these Cubs are still in their prime, and they're pretty damn good. I just want people to pause on putting the dirt on the Chicago Cubs in this Theo Epstein era. They're still good. And the problem with the team last year was vast in many of them, but one of the huge problems was they had the lowest on-base percentage from their leadoff guy. And I know the guy only leads off one time a game, but they were by far, I think 291 was their on-base percentage from their leadoff position.
Yeah.
They solved that now. Chris Bryant is a 385 on-base guy for his career. This is going to make a huge difference in the Cubs' offense this year. And so I believe that offense being resurgent, being one of the top offenses in the National League, will lead the Cubs to the top of the NL Central. Do you believe me, Cub fans? Do you have faith in what the Cubs have done or the nothing they've done? Because they have belief in the 28-year-old Chris Bryant, the 30-year-old Anthony Rizzo, the 27-year-old Javi Baez, the 26-year-old Kyle Schwarber, the 27-year-old Wilson Contreras. They're all in their prime still. These guys are still good. Let's not put the dirt on the Cubs yet. Rick, I don't know how you feel about the Cubs in this regard, but I'm just getting tired of people saying the Cubs are done.
So are you saying having Chris Bryant on the roster keeps the Cubs good? Because yes. I know the Cubs were, you know, it's everywhere that the Cubs were and probably are still looking to get what they want for Chris Bryant. But having Chris Bryant on the roster right now is what a lot of people have asked for. Just that, don't trade him. Now, mind you, it's normally coupled with signing to a long-term extension. Of course, that's what guys like, I know you and I are on the same page of that, would much rather see the Cubs stop crying poor. And we'll get to that a little bit more later. I've got some stuff to kind of just show, you know, the term luxury tax, competitive balance tax, whatever you want to call it, how it's a scary thing.
Mm-hmm. I know Major League Baseball owners want you to believe that.
Absolutely. But got just a comparison, because it's a tough thing for us to grasp, because it's something it doesn't directly affect the payroll when you go above it. You can just choose to go above it, and you're golden in that regard, but it affects wallets. So we'll get to that a little bit later. But as of right now, for those of us that said, hey, trying to work it out with Chris Bryant, get a deal done, going into this season with Chris Bryant on the roster, yes, the Cubs have, if we're looking, you know, range of outcomes and all that, the Cubs have, to me, the highest ceiling. They also have the highest median outcome.
Okay.
So I definitely think that while I like what the Reds have done, I love the fact that they've been aggressive. Just seeing another team being kind of in the middle, maybe even towards just below middle, but still be aggressive to try and get themselves into a spot where they can have a chance. I like the fact of what the Reds are doing, but if you're asking me, do I trust them more game in and game out necessarily than the Cubs to start this season until, you know, we get a little more of a sample with this Reds thing?
Mm-hmm.
I can't say that I agree in that. Yeah, I do think that the Cubs have a real opportunity to get back in this, get the division title back. Now, that's as much about, as you mentioned, the Reds are the only team that's improved. It's part of the division coming back to the Cubs and then trying to project some positive regression for them based on some of what happened last year.
Yeah, and I haven't even gone through the pitching staff. People are sleeping on Yu Darvish. Last year in the first half of the season, he had like a 2-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Decent, not great.
Mm-hmm.
In the second half, he has 16-1 strikeout-to-walk ratio. Yeah. That's dominant. That guy, I believe, is going to show up for the 2020 Cubs. And also having Craig Kimbrell in the camp right now.
Right.
Full season, ramp up. His natural ramp up as a closer. We've seen this time and time again. Mm-hmm. Greg Holland a couple years ago signed late with the Cardinals, was crap. They cut him in the middle of the year.
Yep.
I think he signed with the Nationals eventually and then went to the Rockies. And same thing happened last year with Craig Kimbrell, where he signed in the middle of the year and he was terrible. Statistically, before the Cubs signed him, he was one of the best closers of all time. And I think that having him the whole year, having him have an offseason, know where he's going to be pitching at this year, and the Cubs in there, and Theo and Jed, and all the people that are working with him is going to pay dividends. I know that you guys don't like Jose Quintana, but he's a solid pitcher.
Right. For where he is in their rotation.
He's a $10 million pitcher. Cool. He's a third or fourth starter. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you gave up Eloy and you gave up Cease. Let that go.
Thanks, Cubs.
Let that go. He is your third or fourth starter. He's solid. And John Lester's a bulldog. And I'm forgetting about the number two pitcher, but Kyle Hendricks, you know he's going to give you two.
Right.
Maybe 200 innings this year. So all you're looking for is a guy who's a fifth starter that's solid. You have Tyler Chatwood. I think he walks people too much.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that I would like for the Cubs to take a look at is Colin Ray. He was the Pacific Coast League Pitcher of the Year. If you know anything about the Pacific Coast League, it's a hitter's league.
Right.
And AAA, they had those balls that were used in the major leagues also. So the advantages were on the hitter side. He had a sub-4 ERA last year. He pitched for the Padres before. He was drafted by the Miami Marlins. I believe that Colin Ray will be the Cubs' fifth starter when it's all said and done because you can't have walks. Tyler Chatwood, very talented.
Yes.
High-plus fastball, all that good stuff. But if you can't get it across the plate where the rest of the umps are going to call it a strike, you might as well be sitting down. So I would be rooting for Colin Ray if you're looking for the fifth starter for the Cubs. So this lineup, this rotation, this bullpen,
mm-hmm.
and with the tutelage of what Theo and Jed are going to be doing with David Ross, working more of an analytics standpoint, and this is the thing that I kind of hate. They're going to have a good year, and it's going to be better than the year before, and they're going to say, well, see, 2019, Joe was our problem. We got the same team. We brought him back, and we're winning now. So David Ross and the Theo and Jed way of life is the way we should go all the time. So the overreaction to give David Ross way too much credit will be the narrative this year. I don't want that to be it, but I believe that Theo and Jed know how to run a club, and they know that if Joe slacked off a little bit on preparation, on not liking analytics, or he has said as much in his subsequent interviews, this will show that this is a Theo Jed thing, not a David Ross thing.
312-644-6767 is the number, 670-11 on the text line. 773 texter does not agree with us, and we do want to know what you think. Give us a call, give us a text. Are you optimistic on the Cubs now that it looks like at least to start the year Chris Bryant's going to be here? 773 texter mentioned the Cardinals and Brewers are still better than the Cubs. Even when both teams regress, the Cubs regress even more, and Darvish is still a bum.
Darvish is a bum? Are you watching baseball? Did you watch him?
I don't think so.
Check out his game log.
Also,
check out his last 8 or 9 games as his game log. Striking out multiple, like 10 strikeout games, each one of them.
I'll take the Cardinals under consideration for sure. Just because the Cardinals tend to always be the Cardinals and be at least around. A team that you have to pay attention to. But from what's happened with Milwaukee this offseason, do you trust the Brewers going into this year? To you, are they just, I don't know, sitting there third, or it just feels like a third or a fourth place team coming into this year, even with, you know, Christian Yelich being Christian Yelich. But think about what that team's been the last couple years. They've needed Christian Yelich to be the best possible version of himself just to get where they've been. And like I said, we're not saying the Cubs are going to win the division, walking away or anything like that. But we're saying when you look at the profile of the teams in this division, they've got the highest end outcomes of anybody, even with the pitfalls that they have. You mentioned Kimbrel, you know, looking at Lester in that rotation. But it feels like compared to going into last season, the Cubs at least have, in terms of that back end of the rotation, another option or two. You mentioned Colin Ray, you know, having Alzolay healthier going into a season with whatever he's going to end up being. Alec Mills seems like a guy that, with time, has garnered more and more trust and admiration from the Cubs organization, that it just seems like they have more options in case John Lester gets hurt or someone underperforms.
Cardinals' huge injury with Miles Michaelis.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, who are they going to get to replace those innings and those good innings that Miles Michaelis is pitching? Ponce de Leon? He hasn't found the founding youth. See what he did there? Yeah. Yeah, all day long, friends. All day long.
Between the two of us, you're going to be shaking your head and not even from the sports opinions half the time.
And so, yeah, I'm not impressed with what the Cardinals have done this offseason. Now, the Cubs haven't done a lot either. They didn't pick anybody of real substance up. Jason mm-hmm. Kipnis, good luck. Jarrell Cotton, that guy might not make the team. But I think the people they're bringing back are just good.
Yes.
And you're discounting Yu Darvish huge amount. Mm-hmm. He's going to be a top of the National League pitcher this year. Mark it down. He is that good. He's had the mental problems because of this Houston Astros thing. And you've seen as he started showing his personality, as Timmy Anderson did last year, mm-hmm. once he starts being himself, funny on Twitter,
yeah,
doing YouTube videos, joking, being comfortable with his teammates and his surroundings around the Chicagoland area, he became a solid top-of-the-rotation pitcher last year. You don't know what's going through people's minds. And that whole Astros thing, that tipping signs and mm-hmm. Yuri Gurriel doing the racist thing to him, those things take a lot out of you, and he has battled through to become one of the best pitchers in the National League at the end of that last year. So that is the guy I would expect to see, not the guy that showed up at the beginning of the year. And the injuries seem like they're in his past now, too.
Now, I do remember when the Cubs initially signed Darvish on Bernsie McKnight, we had on Jared Sandler, who's the radio pre- and post-game guy for the Texas Rangers, which obviously is where Darvish spent a good amount of his career before getting to the Cubs. And he mentioned that there's just always some things with Darvish. So it's not, at least the mental aspect isn't purely what happened with the Astros. Obviously, that was a big factor in that time frame, 100%. And getting away from that really can only help him. But before we take our first time out, let's go out to John Rolling Meadows. John, you're on the Score.
Hey, guys. Yeah, I got the Cubs third behind the Reds and the Cardinals this year. I've been keeping track of the Cardinals the Reds this year and their starting rotation situation, and they've made some moves. Their bullpen was one of the best in the National League last year, and you know, that ball at home just, you know, jumps out of the park. So if their pitchers can consistently get them into the seventh inning before they hit the bullpen, look out. I mean, I think the Reds could honestly win the Central Division this year.
Thanks, John. I mean, it's definitely a possibility. We're not saying the Cubs have this locked up. Once again, we are not saying that. But when we come back, let's take a little bit more of a look at what the Cubs have. You know, Zips projections are out, so we can take a glance at those. It's just a reference point for what's being thought of. They have the Cubs as first in the division, but it's just kind of a meh division. So you have to look at it through that prism. We're not saying the Cubs are going to be a 95-plus win team necessarily. This division isn't great in terms of top-end talent. So we'll get into that a little more when we come back. He's Herb Lawrence. I'm Rick Camp, and this is The Score.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Want to sign a one-day contract with the Chicago Wolves? and earn a $5,000 signing bonus, visit the Sprint store on Lamont Road in Darien. You only have a little bit of time left, 34 minutes between 1 and 3 p.m. today. He's Herb Lawrence. I'm Rick Camp. We are here with you until 5 o'clock. Bulls pregame starts at 5:45 here on the Score. And it seems a little odd with the everything that's happened this offseason to kind of take a step back, reassess the NL Central, and say, you know what? The Reds are a better team than they've been. The Cardinals are a solid team.
Yes.
The Brewers seem to have taken a step back, but by the Cubs pretty much being stagnant, and we're not saying they had a good, because we think they can win the division, the Cubs had a good offseason. We're not saying that because, I mean, they really didn't do anything. And that's frustrating because of the reasons that they're not doing anything. But as we look at it, the Cubs still have a solid chance at winning this division. It's not a good division. If they were in pretty much any other division, you would say, I don't know, maybe the Cubs could just be in play for a wild card spot. But if nothing else, it's a year where you can benefit from being in a division that's just down on the whole. And the Cubs could benefit that and get into the playoffs. And then at that point, you know, it's not necessarily a straight toss-up, but they would at least have a chance.
We saw what the Washington Nationals did, and I understand that they have two horses at the beginning of that rotation, but just get in the dance and see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
The Cubs have as much, if not better, talent than any team in the NL Central.
Right.
Can we agree on that?
Yeah.
I mean, we've gone through the names already. They're still in their prime.
Mm-hmm.
People forget that Chris Bryant is in his prime, and if you look at the numbers since he's come into the league, I believe only Mike Trout has a higher F4. It's a substantial number, but Mike Trout.
Yeah.
Then Chris Bryant, Mookie Betts in that same area. So let's not forget about that guy. He's great. Anthony Rizzo, Mr. Cub, new Mr. Cub.
Mm-hmm.
Still great. Still excellent hitter. And as David Ross put it, the reason why he wants Bryant over Rizzo in the leadoff spot is because when Bryant does get on and hits a single, he'll occupy the first baseman to have to hold him on, and then they'll give a little bit more holes for Rizzo to hit through. So mm-hmm. you're a little bit better that way. I would rather have Rizzo than Bryant, but, you know, it's their team, whatever. Then they're going to, you know, lefty-righty, because the new rule where you have to have your reliever pitch at least to three batters.
Yep.
So that makes sense, and I think most teams will be doing that. So you're going to be seeing Bryant-righty, lefty-Rizzo, righty-Baez, lefty-Schwarber, righty Contreras, and then Hayward, and then I don't know if they're going to go with either Kipnis or Happ or Almora in the outfield. So they have a solid lineup. It depends on the pitchers and if they're going to pitch to the back of the baseball card.
Right.
If they do, I think the Cubs are solid. If they struggle this year, it's going to be some tough times, but I think they have the best talent in the league. And with Theo, I trust in Theo.
In the division.
In the division.
Yeah.
I trust in Theo and what he does, and I trust in Jed and what he does.
Mm-hmm.
And if he wants to see this club through, and you know how I feel about managers not mattering that much, if they're going to go with the more analytical way and have these players have them be in the best positions to succeed,
yeah,
I'm in.
Yeah, and as much as we say that all the hitters are in their prime, it is very fair to say not near as much with the rotation.
No, only was it Contreras because, and Hendricks are in their prime, kind of.
Right.
Age-wise.
Exactly.
Contreras. Quintana, he's 31. He's just out of it.
Yeah.
If you go by the, 27 to 31.
Right. And that's a very fair thing to bring up. Like we said, the lineup, that's a high floor. Even though they've obviously had their struggles, we'll see what ends up happening. And by the way, I thought the Cubs were following a pattern of each day revealing one player of the, okay, Wednesday we got, okay, Bryant's going to be the leadoff hitter. Thursday, we got, okay, Rizzo's going to be hitting second. Well, I think pretty much everybody assumes then Baez is hitting third.
Yes.
So shouldn't today we be hearing about who's going to hit fourth for the Cubs this year? Come on.
It has to be Schwarber.
I mean, I would think so.
I mean, the other option is Jason Kipnis or Jason Hayward.
No.
Okay, so we're good. Or Happ. He's a switch hitter. So.
Or they just say righty-lefty be damned and, you know, go, Contreras something.
Contreras fourth, but they David Ross pointed out this in his speech earlier in the week that mm-hmm. he would like that righty lefty so they can't have a person in there in the bullpen that's just going to come in and get all lefties out or something, or all righties out.
And the thing, the other thing that I find interesting when you start thinking about, okay, lineup stuff on a given day, our Bruce Levine, who you heard on Inside the Clubhouse earlier today, when he spoke to Bryant, and that was the day that it came out that he was going to be hitting leadoff.
We don't know if you had this, Sean, but we didn't tell you about this. Sorry.
Oh, no, no, it's fine. Like, I can just describe it. The fact that when Bruce asked the question to Chris Bryant, he didn't just say, hey, are you, so you're going to be the leadoff guy. He said, hey, so you're going to be the leadoff guy and play in center field? And I think that's interesting because, you know, Bruce is really plugged in. So I would be floored if Bruce would just throw that out there flippantly, that the center field aspect of it. So I would not be surprised at all with the Cubs not making a move for a more proven center fielder, that a good amount of those center field starts are going to be split between, I would still think, Chris Bryant, Jason Hayward a little bit, and a little bit of Almora, maybe a little bit of Happ. But I would think if you have Chris Bryant starting more in the outfield, you would maybe have Ian Happ playing a little third or just rotating around on the infield as well.
What about the boat show?
Yeah, he's there.
Okay. But to Chris Bryant answered that question pretty much like, I'll do whatever the team wants. And he's a team player. The misconceptions about Chris Bryant have been vast. He pretty much went on mic and said, none of the stuff is true. I've never been presented with an extension in my face, nothing with $200 million plus, and I'm wanting to be a Cub, so get me here, and I'll do whatever it takes to be a Cub and make the team better.
Right.
Him moving up to leadoff shows you that. His versatility, moving from left to right to third base, to play anywhere for Joe Maddon and now David Ross, shows you that he is a team player and a great player, too, at that. That you can have that many gloves and play them at a high level, too.
Absolutely. So I do find that interesting. And mind you, in the pros, Bryant has very minimal center field experience. But, you know, go back to college, go back to high school, all that stuff. He played a good amount of center field because, you know, in high school and college, it's if you're the best athlete, you're probably going to end up playing those types of positions, either center field sometimes, or since Bryant's too big to play shortstop, for him it was third, and that's why he's always been at third. But having that versatility here and there to be able to put in the best matchups on a given day outside of your steadfast guys that are there all the time. You know, obviously Joe Maddon spoke a bunch about having that ability, and he would use it in game. He would use it game to game. So having that, I think, is a big deal, especially if Bryant's going to get a little more work out there in spring training, just not be springing it on somebody out of necessity, but being able to say, hey, you know what? We're probably going to play you in center field a decent amount. So, you know, we'll keep you up to par at third base, getting your work in, but we also want, just take care of this.
And yeah, you're right. And after the break, we're going to take this call before we go to the break, but after the, oh, he's gone now. Is he there? Okay. Sorry. After the break, we'll go with, what you're going to talk about is as far as salary cap and competitive balance and luxury tax. One of the reasons why the Cubs give you this, hey, we're not going to go and spend any money type of thing, because, hey, we're over this salary cap, the luxury tax, and we really don't want to pay it. So no free agents for you guys this year. You guys fine with that?
Right.
It's fine because the team, as I said, is pretty good as it is, and this division is winnable.
Mm-hmm.
But also what the Cubs management is giving you is crap.
Absolutely. And it's not just, it's the Cubs. It's also every team around baseball. So we'll get into that a little bit. When we come back, he's Herb Lawrence. I'm Rick Camp. We're here with you until 5 on the Score.
I mean, I've always been willing to do it. I've never said I wouldn't or any of that. You know, but I think Joe was just comfortable putting me in the two hole and leaving me there. You know, but yeah, I mean, I think I've demonstrated to you guys over the past that I'll do anything, so it's not my nature to say I wouldn't do anything.
That's Chris Bryant. He'll hit wherever the Cubs want him to. He'll play the field wherever the Cubs want him to, and that's what we've been talking about a lot so far. He's Herb Lawrence. I'm Rick Camp. We're here with you until 5. At the top of the hour, we'll switch over to the White Sox with James Fegan of The Athletic. Aaron Bummer gets a new long-term deal today. other news and notes going on in Sox camp. So we'll get the latest from him at 4 o'clock. We'll speak with our guy Lawrence Holmes. He's in Arizona as well, getting to absorb a lot of the baseball vibes and the baseball feels that are going on right now. So we'll get the latest from him.
And for you that are wondering, the White Sox game has been canceled for today because it's raining down there in Glendale. It's raining everywhere in Arizona in that area. The Cubs game got moved from the time that was supposed to be on right now on the score to later on in the evening. I think 6:10 here, maybe 7:10 here, but it will not be aired on the score. It will be aired on their new station, Marquee Network. If you do get Marquee TV Network, good on you. If you don't, you're with the rest of us.
Right.
But every single regular season game and the postseason will be here on 670 The Score. So lock it down. We appreciate you going with us here at The Score. Before the break, I was talking about the competitive balance tax / luxury tax in the Major League Baseball. This is one of the reasons the Cubs cite as the reasons why they're not signing guys the last two offseasons.
Sure.
I look at the tax that the people had to pay last year and this year for going over this luxury tax. The Cubs last year, 2019, went $28 million over the $206 million luxury tax threshold.
Okay.
They paid, just give me a guess of what you think the Cubs paid last year, 2019, for the luxury tax penalty.
Let's see. See, I'm more well-versed in NBA luxury tax, which we'll get to in a minute, but I would say, I don't know, a couple million.
They paid $6.8 million
okay.
in luxury tax payments. So $230 million in payroll, almost $7 million in taxes.
Right.
A drop in the bucket, right?
Absolutely.
So you were thinking like, man, luxury tax, I heard that's very prohibitive. It's costing teams a lot of money. I know
that's what we're being sold, at least.
Repeaters, you know, you get the 10 spots deduction from the first round. And great. It's not great.
Right.
The Cubs this year are currently over the luxury tax threshold, which is at $208 million for 2020. They're scheduled to pay a tax. They're almost $5 million over the luxury tax.
Okay.
They're scheduled to pay a tax of $1.5 million.
That's nothing.
Yeah. And by the way, the Yankees have been over the luxury tax both years. This year, they're almost $50 million over.
Yeah.
They're going to pay $21 million in luxury tax payments.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Right.
Absolutely nothing to these teams. And yes, I know you guys at home are saying, well, $21 million is a lot of money, Herb. It's not a drop in the bucket. For these teams, it is.
Yes. When you have billion upon billion dollar corporations, and then a lot of times owners that are probably even worth more than that, yeah, it's not a whole lot. So just to, we'll go over this real quick, because I don't want to bog everybody down with numbers too much on this. So in your MLB luxury tax system, year one you go over, you pay a 20% tax. So for every dollar that you are over that luxury tax line, you have to pay 20 cents.
Not that much.
Year two, that goes up to 30%. So 30 cents on every dollar. Year three, you go up to 50.
Still not
And that's
that much.
Three, and anytime after that, it's going to be 50%. And there are a couple escalators when you hit other thresholds and stuff. So I'm like, man, that there's really only two of your main sports that you can say are big time, are luxury tax based leagues, and that's MLB and the NBA. So I'm like, okay, let me take a look at what the thresholds are in the NBA to go over the luxury tax. In the NBA, first time offense, first time you go over, for every dollar you pay $1.50 to go over the luxury tax.
So every dollar that I go over the luxury tax, if I'm an NBA team, I have to pay $1.50 over, like that.
In addition.
So that is pretty much, so I'm effed.
Yes, absolutely.
So it's a prohibitive thing.
And there are also escalators for pending how far over you are. So I was looking up, like, what's one of the bigger numbers that we've seen? And it was 2018 Red Sox were $40 million over the luxury tax. $40 million. their tax bill was $12 million. All things included, $12 million. So I'm like, okay, let's see for a first-time NBA team if they were not in the repeater tax.
So wait a second.
Yes.
The Red Sox.
Yes.
Went over the luxury tax last year and paid only $12 million. And so they're getting rid of one of their best players in their history that they drafted, cultivated, and became an MVP on their team because of $12 million.
More or less. Yeah. Okay. About around that number.
Okay.
So, okay. So like, let me look at what that luxury tax penalty would be in the NBA. If a team that was not in the tax the year before goes over the tax by $40 million, and I got the calculations from Hoops Hype, they have it laid out nice and pretty for dumb people like me to make it nice and simple. If you're $40 million over the tax, and it is your first time being over the tax, your luxury tax bill is $160 million.
Yeah, that's prohibitive.
That is prohibitive. And mind you, at this point of the year, there's still a little time to wiggle underneath it for teams that are really close. In the NBA, there are currently 7 teams that are over the luxury tax threshold. None of them by a substantial amount, all under $10 million. I believe the highest payroll is Portland, who's at about $138 million, and the luxury tax threshold is $132. And the thing is, some of the teams, there would, in a normal year, there would be more teams over. If the Warriors were not completely hurt and decimated and just a crap team this year, they would be over. If, you know, you've got a lot of teams that, because of making restricted free agent sign-in trades, they were hard capped below that threshold. So they're literally not allowed to go above that hard cap number. So there would be more teams above this threshold realistically. And then the NBA, they're willing to pay for it. But in baseball, where it's still a thriving league financially, teams are not willing. They are acting like a 20% tax is crippling. And it's just straight not true. Like, I'm a big proponent, and this is one thing that I love that has started to happen, it feels like, in this town within the last year. We're not blindly trusting front offices anymore, because our perspective is getting better as observers of the team, as fans of the teams. We realize a lot of the business aspects that go into all these calculations as well. What from business affects on field or on court, whatever, on ice. And we are finally starting to hold some of these organizations' feet to the fire for either how they handle their front office, how they handle the money, who they're paying the money to. Because for a long time in this town, with not as much success as you would think, for as much as we've trusted front offices blindly, we're finally starting to be like, you know what? It's only 20 cents per dollar for the first year. And even so, even in this instance, where the further and further you go along in baseball versus basketball, the more years you go into the tax, the amount that's different in terms of price only gets bigger. So you're saying that eventually in baseball, if you move down 10 slots to an owner, if you said, you know what? You could either move down 10 slots in the draft or pay $148 million. What do you think that owner's doing?
10 slots.
Absolutely.
And I know there's value in the draft and that slot pick.
100%.
But baseball is not like the rest of the sports where the first round is pretty much a guarantee to be on your team. Baseball, first rounders are crapshoots. So, yeah, 10 picks is a lot, but it's not like you're moving in the NFL from 10 to 20, and that's a huge drop-off because one guy can play in the league and the other guy maybe can't. This is not that big of a deal, the draft picks, to me.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. You have good scouts. You have good player development people. You should be fine with just going down 10 spots if your team is right. You know who's not worried about this? The Yankees.
Yeah.
The Yankees are $50 million over the threshold. They're like, $22 million penalty? Fine. Go and find that in our drawer.
Yep.
We got that somewhere in our drawers. We're good. We want to compete. We know that spending money will make us money. Going out and getting Gerrit Cole was the move this year.
Yes.
And they would not be over they would not be overbid. Mm-hmm. They're like, go ahead, Dodgers, do what you want. We got you.
Yeah.
We're going to give Gerrit Cole all the money.
Right.
So that's a smart team.
Yes.
And one of the teams that is favored to win this World Series this year. I just don't understand. Like, that Boston thing still irritates the hell out of me.
Right. And that's the thing that I think good organizations are doing in every aspect of collective bargaining and whatever. Find where there's value that you can exploit. And I think being willing to pay the tax is where there's value. So there was a texter at 670-11, a 630 texter, and this is good clarification, said, well, 1.5 times for the $40 million would only be 60. I was trying to keep it more simple just for the sake of time and everything, not get bogged down in the numbers. In the NBA, when you hit certain thresholds, that dollar-for-dollar amount goes up. So it's a $170 when you have not been in the tax before. When you're under $5 million, it's a $1.70. It's a $1.50 for every dollar. Between 5 and 10, it's a $1.75. 10 to 15, it's $2.50 for every dollar. And between 15 to 20, it's $3.25 per dollar. And when you go $20 million or more over the luxury tax, you're paying $3.75 for every dollar. And 50 cents for each additional $5 million over that $20 million after that. So
damn,
it gets confusing, but they multiply and add that on quick. So that's why, once again, you get to the number of $40 million over the cap in baseball, you're paying a $12 million bill. $40 million over the luxury, and that's over the luxury tax, not the cap. $40 million over in basketball, you pay $160.5 million. So when you see collective, you know, the CBT and teams being frightened in MLB to pay it, just think about that. $148 million difference for that same dollar amount.
And the 708 brings up a point. Okay, comparing baseball to basketball is apples to oranges. You don't have the same roster limits. The revenue is different. Correct. But we're trying to educate you on, when you hear the word luxury, the phrase luxury tax, mm-hmm. and you're thinking, oh man, the Cubs shouldn't get over the luxury tax. I've heard in other sports, it's very punitive and you can't really do it.
Right.
We're giving you the comparison where baseball, it's not. It's not that much money. If the Cubs are going to pay almost $2 million for the roster they have currently. Last year they paid, I think, $7 million, I said. So
sure,
it's not a lot of money. If the same team in basketball did the same thing the Cubs did, they're paying way more. $1.50 per dollar over it, and then, like Rick said, a lot of extra.
Yeah, it can escalate. Boy, that escalates quickly. So that $7 million, if you're a first-time offender, is $11 million you're paying in tax on top of that $7 million. In the NBA. So, and the thing is, what's cool, there are teams that are willing to pay it if they're ready to win. You're telling me if the Cubs made an addition, I'm not even necessarily saying a high-end like Gerrit Cole or something like that. I'm not mm-hmm. even saying that. But if they had added another solid starter to this rotation, a guy who's, you know, in his prime or towards the back end of his prime right now, that would not make a big difference for them in projecting out their rotation and trying to make sure they have enough depth, because Theo always talks about needing to have 6, 7, 8, 9 starters because you know guys are going to get hurt. You're saying that wouldn't make a huge difference? Or maybe bringing back a guy like Nick Castellanos, that wouldn't make a big difference in trying to solidify the Cubs lineup moving forward? I just am tired of teams in baseball trying to cry poor because the owners put in this tax. They wanted it there to idiot-proof themselves from doing dumb things. And then they're also using it as an excuse to not spend their money, but continue to charge you just as much, if not more, than what they should be paying, than what you should be paying. It's really all about maximizing their profit and not caring as much about winning. That's why, as much as the Yankees annoy me a lot of the time, I give them credit, because they're willing to pay to still be the Yankees, to have their fans be able to go out and say, hey, we're the Yankees. That's what we do. I give them credit for being willing to do that, because so many others are just looking for excuses to not spend as much money, but still sell their merchandise, still have people go to the park, buy their beer, and have a decent time and not care near as much about the number that should be going up, the one in the win column.
Yeah, and the teams, you know what they should have in sports is a floor of how much you have to spend. And I know that 2021,
the CBA NFL has that,
will be coming up, and hopefully the MLBPA, the strongest union in players around the team sports, will institute a floor, because what Pittsburgh's doing right now, what Miami's doing right now, is criminal. They're just collecting the money. And this, some of this money, this collective tax, goes to these guys. These guys at the bottom.
Right.
To even out the playing field, as it were. But no, these people have money too. Most baseball teams are valued over $1 billion. They have money. They're just pocketing it. They're just putting it in their pocket and like, all right, cool. Thanks, guys. Another year under the table. Another year we'll be cashing more checks. Thanks, guys. Like, we're not even talking about the Pittsburgh Pirates in a crap division because they've bottomed out.
Right. We're talking about the Yankees. We're talking about the Red Sox and the Cubs. Two of the teams are supposed to be behemoths. All right. We're going to switch gears when we come back. We'll speak with James Fegan from The Athletic about the White Sox, what they're doing, and the Aaron Bummer contract. That's a big deal. So we'll talk to him about that. He's Herb Lawrence. I'm Rick Camp. We're here with you for another couple hours on The Score.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.